the light of lights, and what the text says. So we're going to get a couple of the guys to read all the way up into our fourth day. So who wants to go, Pastor Josh, you read first? Could somebody tell me where he was when he said this? Where was he? What was the time of the year? Exactly. So we covered John 10, right? Well, it started in 8. And so we went through 8. You go through 8, 9, and 10. You get the bigger picture in context. But he makes a claim during this time. And his claim is not... The light you got, the light you're lighting is fine. You don't need to do anything else. He makes this claim, I am the light of the world. And so what's our claim if he claimed that? He's the light of the world. We don't claim anything else. We claim that he's the light of the world. That should be our claim during this time that we celebrate Hanukkah. It should be he's the light of the world. Who's got number 2? Keep going.
We say that we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, lie, and not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light, he is the light in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua Messiah, his son, cleanses us of all sin. We say that we have no sin, we are misleading ourselves. We confess our sins, is trustworthy and right, forgive us, and cleanse us all our righteousness.
Amen. Number 3. Number 4. Amen. So, and just continue the next day, you do these readings. So I just put together a few verses that you can read because you're reading the text, you're reading the scripture. Verses saying Jehovah commands us to pray a certain prayer when he didn't command us that. And so Wednesday night, if you weren't here, it wasn't recorded anything. We went over all of this. We sat down. We had a table discussion, two of us, me and Pastor Josh. And it was a good discussion. And so we didn't have any mics because it was both of us talking. So we do apologize that we didn't have it recorded. But we still got it. We can do it again anytime. Not tonight. We got a lot of stuff to cover. This Torah portion is huge. And it's an amazing one. It's got a lot of things, good elements to cover. And so we want to try to get right started in it. And so this week's, again, Torah portion, understanding Yah's likes and dislikes. Number 10, Maketz, Hebrew for at the end or completion. At the end. Everybody say at the end. Very important to understand that because every person here has been at your end. And you might be in the process. You might be in the middle of being at an end again. Regardless of where you are, at some point in your life, some stage in your life, you got to the end. And something happened. And that could be good or it could be bad. It could be happy or it could be sadness. Something happens at the end. And so we're going to learn that in this Torah portion. Hence the title, Maketz. And that's Genesis 41, 1 through 44, 17. And then the half Torah is 1 Kings 3, 15 through chapter 4, verse 1. That's speaking about Solomon's wisdom and so forth. So we're going to see in the topics in the portion, there's a lot to it. I mean, a lot of it. So I may not cover all of them tonight, just reading them. I may just cover a few of them, but we'll see how it goes. So Maketz means at the end or completion. It was the end of 2 full years. 2 full years. From the time the butler and the baker were released from prison till Pharaoh dreamed and the wine bearer remembered his promise to Joseph. His experience in prison must have been akin to what we feel when we have the call of Elohim on our lives and have to wait sometimes years to carry it out. He demonstrates for us the best way to spend our time serving our master diligently, as the scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So whatever your task is, see, the issue sometimes we have is we don't even know what our task is. But this one thing we know for everybody here, we all have been called to serve Yehovah. Amen? How many would agree with that? So if you want to start with a task, start with that one. Serve him with everything. So whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. If you're gonna get into something, get in all the way. Do it with everything you got. You got to have the energy. Your energy level has to be up. Your attitude has to be right. It's what produces good fruit. It's what pays back to you. When you measure out an enthusiasm, what's measured back to you? An enthusiasm. If you're working for a company and you're enthused about the company and you want to sell the company for that and you want them to be blessed, what brings back to you? They're going to see that enthusiasm, and enthusiasm from the company is going to come back to you in means of payment. That's just how it works. And if you're serving Yehovah and you're enthused about it, what's going to come back to you? When he speaks his word, he'll speak it over your life and it'll come with blessings. Amen? And that's what he does, and he does it very well. So just remember Ecclesiastes 9:10. By doing this, Joseph endured the situation in patient service to Yehovah, and his character was strengthened and prepared for the calling on his life. And so this really inspired me, and I was sharing this with Pastor Josh today, how he was tried, I mean, to the max. Because that had to be the most trying time of everything he went through. He poured out his heart, he poured out his gift to two guys without holding back. He told them exactly what Yehovah was telling him, and it happened. So he was faithful to his gift and his calling, yet in return, he got nothing. They went up. He thought, my prison term's over. I'm getting out of here in a couple days. They just went up. He called them back out of prison. But for 2 years, everybody say 2 years. That means I had to wait for stuff. Sometimes you got to wait. But in our waiting, many times we failed in our waiting. We failed in our waiting. We complained. We whined. We cried. We got mad. We got angry. Because we were so tired of waiting. Well, I don't know why I got to wait so long. Why is it happening for them and not happening for me? But the whole time, Joseph had to keep himself. Because it was in his trying that God was making him the person he wanted him to be. Because the stage that he was bringing him to, he had to make sure his character met that stage or that qualification that he was going to be demanded on. And it wasn't going to take long. He wasn't going to gradually go up from the prison to the palace. It was going to be in one day. In one day. He didn't gradually climb up. He went from a prisoner to second in command in a single day. That's rushing it. And the scripture even says they rushed him up. They brought him up quick. Although it took many years, Joseph went from slave to prisoner to the head of Pharaoh's kingdom. The transition were overnight. It looked to him as though it would never come, but when it finally came, it seemed instantaneous. As a result of his faithfulness, he was in due time advanced to leadership in the kingdom. When the time was right, the vessel was prepared, the situation changed. We can learn some lessons from this. When the time's right, now who's the timekeeper? It's sure not Jesse. We want to be the timekeeper, but it's not me. It's not us. The timekeeper is Jehovah. He's the timekeeper. And when the time's right, it will come. And nothing can stop it. But what makes it the time come is, are we preparing in the time period? In that time period, are we preparing? Are we getting ready and right for the task that's set before us? And we see that happen in his life. In the courts of Egypt and Mesopotamia, they had men who professionally interpreted dreams. The International Bible Encyclopedia, Volume 1, page 992. And so their inability to interpret Pharaoh's dream was significant and was divinely used to fulfill Jehovah's purpose to bring Joseph to his ordained role in life. And so it wasn't that Pharaoh didn't have a team of people. Listen, this is a big kingdom. He had a staff. He had the best that the world could give at that time. And he could pay for the best. And so he had a team of people who could provide for him interpretation. But he used all his resources and got nowhere. And then he remembered, oh, I remember this guy. He told me about my dream after 2 years. Could we wait patiently for 2 years for anything? The cupbearer had forgotten Joseph, but Jehovah had not. Just remember that. I might forget you, but Jehovah will never forget you. I might let you down, but he will never let you down. That's why you don't put weight on people. You got to make sure that what you're doing is for Jehovah and him only. You don't put a lot of weight on people. You have to make sure that you put your faith and your trust in him and him only. And he wants us to rely on him. And so that's, how many of you know that's what Joseph did? He said, I'm just trusting Jehovah. I'm trusting him. And his attitude didn't change after the first month that he didn't get remembered. In the third month, in the sixth month, in the 1 year, in the year and a half, attitude never changed. He stayed true to what Jehovah called him to be. Because the moment his attitude would have changed, it might have took 3 years. So keep adding years to it. Every time you complain about, well, it ain't happened for me yet, keep adding time. You're getting your sentence to be a long time, and you don't want to do that. Because the moment you learn the lesson has to be learned. We have to obey him in spite of the circumstance we're in. And he was in a tight spot. He was in prison, and he was an innocent person. So he was wrongfully in prison. So he could have brought all that stuff up. He could have said, "Today, Lord, we got to have a long talk. I'm tired of this. You know that I've been wrongfully in prison. You know I shouldn't be here. So why am I still here?" That wasn't his attitude. He was content wherever he was. And he said, I must be here for a reason, whatever that reason is. I'm going to find it out, and I'm going to maximize, and I'm going to do it with all my might. And so they made him head of the prison because the prison was in shambles. It needed some leadership there. You can't lead in the palace if you can't lead in the prison first. If you can't lead your own life, you can't lead others' lives. If you're unfaithful to God, you're going to be unfaithful to people. Very important that we understand these terms that we see in the life of Joseph. The cupbearer had forgotten Joseph, but Jehovah had not. And although Joseph's faith was tested, Jehovah was faithful to his word, and the gift which he had given him of interpreting dreams made way for him. Under the circumstance, the chamberlain of the cupbearer decided that his own self-interest dictated that he remembered Joseph and tell Pharaoh about him. The chamberlain began his declaration by making a point of his great devotion to the king. Even though I will have to recall my sin to make this revelation, I will do it for the sake of your majesty. Now notice his words. He said, what I did was a great error because I gave my word to Joseph. I would remember him, and I didn't. 2 years gone. But I'm going to reveal my mistake. Now, these are unbelievers now. They're not believers. But he knew he sinned. He knew he made a mistake. I'll reveal my mistake for my king. He was making sure, because remember, he was already put in prison for acting crazy. And he didn't want to make, his words were very careful. And he was making sure I don't wind up back there. Because if I go back there, I know Joseph ain't helping me. I won't have no help. So he's careful with his words. Careful. He's telling him, I'm doing this for your majesty's sake, because I know you're troubled. You can't find nobody in the entire kingdom who can interpret your dream, but I know somebody who can. You might not realize it, but there's somebody that God has positioned that knows you, has been praying for you, has been standing for you. And this is the key that we have to understand, that God is working on our behalf, and we don't even realize it. We don't even realize that on our behalf he's working. He'll use anybody and anything to bring about the promise that he made to our life. He's not going to go back on his word. Just remember that. And we've seen him do it throughout the scripture. There was people that was used that we would be embarrassed to name them in church today. There were people that had titles of life they lived that were used. But Jehovah will bring about his word, and nothing can stop that. And we have to trust him in that. Because to us, it seems like he's forgotten. To us, it seems like he's not remembering his word. Something's wrong here. But he's waiting for us to get our character right. The scripture reads, and they rushed him, and Pharaoh... Let me back up. For the sake of your majesty, to tell you of my personal knowledge of an interpreter. On his recommendation, Pharaoh has Joseph immediately released and brought to him. And the scripture reads, and they rushed him. They rushed him. Sometimes divine salvation comes hastily and unexpectedly. Did that be all right? Are we patient enough that divine salvation can come unexpectedly? All of a sudden, you're not even thinking about it no more, and all of a sudden it happens. What about a husband that's lost? Can divine salvation come unexpectedly and in a hurry? It can. We don't know what Yahweh's doing. There's times that you prayed and you believed God and you trusted him and you cried over your prayers, and he's heard those prayers. And when he gets ready to move on that, it'll happen hastily. And we have to know that and believe that, and we have to trust that. That way your expectations high, you never have a low expectation. It's always high when it comes to Jehovah, amen? Always. We need to remember that in our timetable, Jehovah may appear to be slow or late, but in his timetable, he is never late, and his timing is perfect. Now, I know a time or two in our life, we must have thought Jehovah was, man, he's slow as can be. Man. We want it when we want it. And not only do we want it when we want it because we need it. Anybody ever been there? You looking around your situation and say, okay, I need it. Not like, I'm in a bind here, Lord. Now he lets you stay in a bind for a while because it really works on your attitude. How many ever had your attitude worked on? I've had mine worked on a few times. And we'll learn to get it right, or we'll go around the mountain again. We don't want to start that journey again. We didn't like it the first time. But since we're on the third time, we ought to have learned something by now. But we see Yosef here. What is he doing? There's a calm about him because he knows who he believes in, and he's been persuaded that he's able to do anything he's asked. And he's trusting him. Now, let me tell you one thing that I know about Yosef. He's not every day in the prison saying, "Oh, God, you got to get me." He's not doing that because he didn't want to have time to do what he's been called to do with all his might. I'm sure he's praying, but he's not focused solely on that. There may be days that he don't even mention it because he knows that Jehovah has got me here for a reason. I don't know the reason yet, but he's got me here for a reason. Let's just say that the guy remembered him. You know, cupbearer goes up and he remembers him. And what happens? He gets out and say he goes back home. Do we have a different story? We have a totally different story. But God's keeping him there for a reason. He's getting everybody's right. The scene is being set. The master painter is doing his, put the stroke of the brush is coming across. He's setting the scene, and he's got a good guy named Yosef who's patient, and he's about to use him in a great way. So how many know that he's never late and his time is perfect? So when you're praying and you feel like you're starting to get a little frustrated, make sure you finish your prayer and say, "Jehovah, I trust you with everything that's in me, and I know that your timing is perfect. I know you're never late, and help me that I don't get impatient, that I stay patient in you." When Yosef was summoned before Pharaoh, his initial words were a bold disclaimer of personal ability and a confession of faith in the only true and living Elohim. "That is beyond me. It is Elohim who will respond with Pharaoh's welfare, or it is not in me. Elohim will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." So he lets him know right up front, it's not me. I know I'm the guy called up, and I know I'm going to be the voice and the mouthpiece. I'm the messenger, but it's not me. Elohim's going to give the answer, whether it's favorable or not, to Pharaoh. So he wanted him to know, "I just want you to know." Now, when he's saying this Elohim, guess what Pharaoh thinks he is? He thinks he's Elohim. But Yosef's talking in terms of a Elohim that's far exceeds Pharaoh, and he knows it. And when those words go forth, Pharaoh knows that this Elohim he's talking about far exceeds me, because if I'm Elohim and I got all the best of the best and I still don't have peace about this dream, I want to know the one he's talking about. And it's time for God to shine, amen? And that's what he does. Daniel 2 ascribes his power solely to Elohim. And Daniel 2:30, "But as for me, my mastery has not been revealed to me, for any wisdom residing in me more than in any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind." Jehovah says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Humbly, Yosef and Daniel gave credit to the one to whom credit was due, refusing to accept the implication that they had in any supernatural powers. Their integrity would not permit them to accept credit themselves, despite the real danger that these might be executed if there was nothing extraordinary about them in their message. Just as the chief cupbearer forgot about Yosef for 2 years, so Yeshua has been ignored by the majority of both Jewish people and the population of the world for 2,000 years. When brought to the forefront, Yosef did not seek to establish his own integrity or honor, but gives glory to Jehovah as the interpreter of dreams. The interpretation of the dreams is, "Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Mitzrayim. There will arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Mitzrayim. The famine will consume the land." And there's about six or seven more slides there. I'm going to skip those because I'm not going to get to where I just stopped tonight, so it don't pay for us to give some of the overall part. So let's go to the first verse. Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. And it came to be at the end, Maket, of 2 years' time, that Pharaoh had a dream and saw him standing by the river. And it came to be at the end of 2 years. We're going to focus on that part a little bit. Let's cover some of these words here. This week's Torah portion is called Maketz, which means at the end or completion. Comes from the root word Kates, Strong's 87039, which means end, after, course, border, end of time. And this comes from the primitive root verb Kasat, Strong's H7112, which means to cut off, clip, cut in pieces, cut into, yud, off, utmost. We take note here that this chapter tells us that it had now been 2 full years since the cupbearer and the baker had been released from prison. And while the cupbearer had promised to remember Yosef at the time that he had received the interpretation of his dream and had been released, he had simply forgotten about the man who had interpreted his dream, and he was restored to his position in the court of Pharaoh without any thought or care for Yosef. This would have certainly been a pretty tough stretch for Yosef, who may have been very excited about being released soon after the cupbearer was back in his position, thinking that he would tell Pharaoh about Yosef as promised, yet this did not happen until 2 years later. Think about this for a moment. Think about it. Here's Joseph. He meets these two fellows, and he tells them about their dream, and then they promise him. The cupbearer promises him. He said, remember me when you go before Pharaoh. He said, I promise I'll do that. And then he just forgets him. And so how many know how the enemy plays with people? So you're sitting there, and the enemy comes and says, they don't care about you. And you buy into it. Well, that happening is God's trying to get you to a spot. You've been praying for stuff. You believe in God for stuff, but you're not ready for the stuff because you still can't get over the fact that somebody forgot you or don't care about you. The more you care about those things, it simply shows that you're not really ready for Yehovah to do the miracle that he has prepared for you. And he wants to provide that miracle, but we're not prepared spiritually to receive it. And here's Joseph. I'm sure the enemy attacked him. If he cared about you and he was a man of his word, he'd have told Pharaoh, but he had to push that to the side. He wasn't going to think on those things. Because those thoughts, I guarantee you those thoughts came to him. Day after day they came, but he wasn't going to think on them. Let me tell you what gets us. It's fine if you're going to have the thought comes because you people are people, right? We're all people here. Thoughts come your way, they enter your mind, but it's when you dwell on that thought that gets you. It grabs you and it won't let you go the whole day. It just bugs you. You allowed that. The people that, and so what are you doing? You're empowering other people to have more power over you because you embraced the thought that didn't mean anything. It was just a thought, but you embraced it, and therefore you gave power to the enemy. You gave power to people over you. And so the whole day is ruined because of that, doing that. So are we supposed to think on these things? We're not to think on those things. The thought comes, you have to go back to the Word of God. You have to say, Lord, I ask you to help me to keep my attitude right, that I don't think about this. I don't want to get mad at the cupbearer. I want to be mad at the cupbearer. Sometimes you come to church and you're mad at the cupbearer. You know you're mad at the cupbearer, and other people know you're mad at it. You ain't happy until you at least get three or four other people mad with you. And we wonder why we don't have success. We wonder why we don't have that instantaneous salvation coming to our lost loved ones. Because we're entertaining something and we're giving power to the enemy, and that power we keep giving him, he's going to use against you. Jehovah is trying to get us to understand that regardless of what it looks like around us, we were called to do a job, and we're going to do that job with everything that's in us. And we're going to be faithful to him and faithful to his word, and we're not going to allow the stuff around us to drag us down. Joseph's attitude that we see him have here is picture perfect. Now, he was a representation of Yeshua. Now, Yeshua went through the same things. He could hear the chatter amongst the disciples. You don't think he had ears to hear? He had ears to hear. He could hear the chatter amongst the disciples and how they were constantly trying to joust for position to get close to him, and how the one was upset because the money wasn't being handled right and all this stuff. This is, let me just tell you, if you don't think that goes on in church, I'm living proof that it goes on. I've seen it time and time again. The chatter goes on and you got all this stuff. Listen, one thing, you can chatter all you want and do whatever you want. You can't get distracted off the vision and the purpose that Jehovah set you up for. The moment you do, you empower the problem. And so, therefore, you become a part of the problem. And so, you're asking Jehovah to take the problem away. In essence, you're telling him to take me away because I'm part of the problem. Joseph didn't become part of the problem. He was a part of the solution. In his vision, he had nothing to do with the cupbearer. How many understand that? Joseph's vision had nothing to do with the cupbearer. His vision, he was going to save all of Israel. He was going to save the nation. How was he going to do that? Because he was going to be patient. Now, the cupbearer was in the hands of Jehovah. And Jehovah, after 2 years, said, it's time. So a lot of things happen. What happened? Pharaoh has a dream. He gets all the best of the best. They can't do nothing for him. So he exhausted all his energy, all his resources is exhausted. He can't go to nowhere. He got nothing to go to. And he can't sleep. He's troubled about this. I can lose the kingdom. I don't know what's going on. And then the cupbearer says, I can't hold back no more. For the sake of, I'm a confess my sin because I want to, for your majesty's sake. He's making sure the king knows that. I'm going to expose myself. I've been holding back this whole time. There's a guy. So the king said, we need more people. Cupbearer's in and out, right? He's the cupbearer. He's in and out. He's listening to the conversation, but he's not part of the conversation. But he's hearing stuff. We need more people. And so he heard it. When the first day he said he heard it, and I'm sure it come to him. You forgot about that guy down there. He interpreted your dream and it came to pass. So maybe a couple days goes by and he's hearing the chatter and he says, man, I can't hold back no more. I got to confess. How many see how wonderful this thing unfolded? The whole time, what is Joseph supposed to do? Just be quiet. Trust me. Be patient. I'm going to bring about what I promised you. I'm going to bring it about. And he had to be brought to the test, just like Abraham brought to the test. Abraham was brought to the test. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, and give him to me. If you want to be faithful to me, you bring him and give him to me. He took him to the brink of, and his character was, Lord, it makes no difference. And let me go, nobody loved their boy more than Abraham loved Isaac. But God took what he loved, and he asked for it, and he was willing to give it. And until you're willing to give everything up that you love, you're going to be in some tough spots in your life. You'll be in tough spots. All your dreams, your ambitions, everything that you love, that you've planned for your life, if you can't give them up for Jehovah, you'll get yourself in some tight spots. Not just 2 years, but 3 years, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years. You're waiting. Because he wants to know that you'll give everything up to have him. If I have you, I have everything. Can you imagine Joseph's position? And so they would have certainly been pretty tough stretch for Joseph, who may have been very excited about being released soon after the cupbearer was back in his position, thinking that he would tell Pharaoh about Joseph. as promised, yet he did not happen until 2 years later. Think about this for a moment. Think about it. Often when we are expected of a breakthrough, we must realize that it may not always come as quickly as we expect it to. And we must continue to trust in Jehovah. Continue to trust him. Regardless of the circumstance we may seem to still be enslaved in, as we have the assurance that he is with us and continues to extend his loving commitment toward us where we are at. Sometimes you say, well, I don't like where I'm at, and we don't like where we're at so much, we let it interfere with our relationship with Jehovah. And that's not good. No matter where I am, what condition I am, whatever state I am, I have to be what? Content. No matter what my situation is, because he's still Jehovah. He's still God. Amen? And he's still on the throne. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And he wants us to know that. He knows it already, that what he promised he would bring to pass. But we have to make sure that we get it and we understand that. He's the same. So we have to make sure that we continue. He continues to extend his loving commitment towards us where we are at. So in my situation, no matter how bad it is, he's still God. Let me tell you, it's easy to sing when we're on a mountain. When we're on a mountain and the money's rolling in, the bills are all paid, we got more than we know what to do with, everybody's happy and clapping. We go through a dry spell where it's a little tough, and you got a disconnect in relationship, and the money's a little weak, the bills are kind of late. Then where we at? Is he still Jehovah? Is he still God? Are we still praising him with the same intensity? Remember, whatever we put our hands to do, we do with all our might. We don't have a whole lot to praise him for. You don't praise him for the stuff. You're praising him because of who he is. You're not stuff-driven, are you? Are we stuff-driven? You know, if I get stuff, I'm driven to worship him. Are we driven strictly by the fact of who he is? Because he's the same. He never changes. Whether I'm on the mountain or in the valley, he's still the same. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He understood it, plainly understood that. You're with me. No matter what I go through, you're with me. And that's what Joseph is experiencing here. We also know that Jehovah is never late, but rather his timing is always perfect, and his timing is not reliant on people who may or may not remember their words given in promise to another. It may have been that if Joseph had been released 2 years earlier, that he would have possibly just gone home to his family and not been able to be established as the prince of Mizraim and deliver his family from severe famine that lay ahead. Remember, he is the one who had the dream earlier. He told the dream to his brothers. What'd they do? They get mad at him. Then he shared an extensive dream of that same dream, just extended, to his mom and dad, and they all looked at him and said, okay, you mean mom and dad's going to bow down to you too? So God gave this thing to him before he ever was put in the pit. So he's carrying, he's in a sense, he's impregnated with this vision. And he's carrying it inside in the womb, and he don't see a whole lot happening. It sure don't look like everything God said in the dream is coming to pass, because his life is going through it. He winds up in the pit, and it's dark. But God gets him out of pit, and he gets sold into slavery. Now, many people don't see the progression there. But Jehovah seen the progression. Because in order for me to shine my light on him, I got to put him in that spot over there, and he can't get there over here. He's never going to leave here. What's the chances in Joseph just leaving there? He's not going to leave here. I'm going to get him over there because I got a job for him to do. And let me tell you, same thing with Yeshua. Yeshua was here to do a job, and he did it well. He did it very well. And I'm thankful that he came and he gave his life for all the world. Amen? How many thank God for that? His time had not yet come, so to speak, until 2 years after his expected release. The expectation of Joseph was certainly tested and drawn out, yet the longing he had would certainly come true, and he would be able to certainly test the joy of deliverance. Taste the joy of deliverance. After much endurance, and we can learn some very vital lessons on endurance from this, as it is said in Proverbs 13:12. Everybody write down Proverbs 13:12. Very important. The expectancy drawn out makes the heart sick. So he's telling you how it's going to be. The expectancy drawn out makes the heart sick. But a longing comes true is a tree of life. But a longing come true is a tree of life. So there's no doubt that the heart was sick in Joseph. But that same day that he felt the sickness of 2 years of patiently waiting, at the end of that day, he's now standing in the palace. Let me tell you, it's like a tree of life. It's something about it. And it's like you and I, when we were in sin and darkness, apart from God, you still had dreams, you still wanted to do stuff, but little by little, those dreams and those aspirations were being snuffed out by the enemy because of the life we lived. They got farther and farther away and it just made you sick. Anybody ever felt that sickness? And then all of a sudden you walk into the marvelous light through Yeshua and it's like eating from the tree of life. That's what the experience that he wants us to have. He wants us to have that experience. And he promises that experience to us. It's a wonderful thing. The Hebrew word that is translated here as expectancy is toheleth. Toheleth is Strong's 8, H8431, which means hope, expectancy. It comes from the root word yakal, Strong's 83176, which means to wait expectantly, having hope, and implies the hope that is in the solid ground of expectation for the righteous. Now we have a hope. What's the hope we hope in now? What's our hope now? That one day Yeshua will return. And if we die before then, our hope is, though we die in Christ, we shall live. But if we're still remaining alive, we will be changed, and we spend eternity, a millennium, with him in Jerusalem as him being ruler and king. That's our hope. That's our expectancy. Now, it seems like we've been in this thing a long time. When I started in this thing since I can remember. In other words, I had a conscious mind to remember for myself. I looked around. I was in church as a little boy. I looked, okay. And I gnawed on the benches and ate the song books and, you know. And so I've been in and around it, and they've been saying the same thing, been being priests. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. I remember that from the first time I could remember that and comprehend it and keep it inside of me. He's coming. I'm still saying it today. He's coming. So it went from the lips of many different pastors to my lips, he's coming. And I'm going to be saying that until he comes, because he's coming. That's our hope. That's our expectancy. And it's to righteousness. Now, in the meantime, everybody say the meantime. In the meantime, you can get bogged down with stuff, circumstance, situation, and just the whole fact that you're waiting. But that can't change your attitude toward Jehovah. Because when it does, we're not ready. Our character is not equipped for what's going to happen in our life. We want to get it right. And so how do you get your character right? By the Torah. You got to go back and find out, why did I just act the way that I acted? How many consciously investigated yourself before? Because you got to do that. We good at investigating other people. Well, I mean, we can do it the drop of a hat. We can be sitting in a restaurant and we can put the investigation eyes on them as they're walking in. Yeah, I know they got it. I mean, we're good at that. But we don't do no investigation here, because it hurts when you're doing this for yourself. But we have to do that. You got to figure out, why did I just do what I did? And why I did it, I got to find it in the text. And when I read it and I see it for myself, then I have to repent of it. And I have to say, Lord, help me never to do that again. Because that's what gets me better. And let me tell you, Joseph fought all these feelings. When these feelings come up that he wants to choke the cupbearer to death when he get his hands on him, He had to fight that fear and say, I can't do that. I can't even think those thoughts. I cast that out of my mind. I'm going to think on things that are good. I'm going to trust Yehovah. Amen? And that's what he did. In Psalms 147, verse 11, Yehovah takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who wait for his loving commitment. Is it okay if I say, why don't we just wait on Yehovah? We used to sing this song, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We sing that song. Mount up, and that's the scripture. That's the verse of scripture. His eagle, run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Reach me, Lord. You ought to be singing that every day. When you're feeling like, man, nothing happened for me, sing that song. I'm waiting on you. I'm trusting you. I'm waiting on your loving commitment, because how many know his loving commitment is always on time? Always on time. Even when we think, man, I could have used this yesterday, Lord. Yesterday I could have used this, and we already in today. Sometimes we think we got to remind him. He's watching over the whole world to take care of it. And we got to remind him. We just got to be patient and wait upon him, because he knows what he's doing. Amen. Yehovah takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who wait for his loving commitment. This further encourages us to, in the sure hope that we have as we sojourn here as sojourners and pilgrims, abstaining from fleshly lusts which battle against the life. These stresses further the emphasis that we are to have in waiting on Elohim. Let me tell you, the enemy knows that when you're waiting and you're waiting and waiting, it has a tendency to weaken your faith. And when your faith is weakened is when the fleshly lusts come. He'll flash all kinds of things. And the world operates this way. The world operates this way. They're doing right, they're wide open in it right now. The inflation rate in America could be as high as we've seen it in our lifetime. Okay? But you think that's going to stop the advertising, the commercializing of buy season? It ain't going to stop it. You turn the television on, buy, price, this, sale. And folks, it's like the bugs going to the light. And the world operates to do that, because it gets you in a state of when you're weak, to feel better, you project yourself by saying, I can afford this, when you really can't. You're trying to project yourself that I'm good, and you're really not. And so you're doing things by fleshly lust that you wouldn't normally do if you were sound in your faith. You wouldn't do it. You say, I'm not doing that. Not the time for it, because I know that Jehovah is not leading me to do it. You got better answers. You're better equipped. But that's what happens. We get all out of sync. And that's what Joseph had to be careful in. Even in his weakness, waiting that long, he had to be careful that he stayed true to the word of God. That's what kept him, and that's what kept him so clean before the Lord. And the Lord was ready. When it came time to use him, he didn't say, okay, go to class. He'd already been in class for 2 years. And so, see, we still were so mad at being in class for two years, we got to go to reclass. But we didn't like it. When you didn't like it, we start you over. Nobody likes to start over. But Joseph's attitude was right, and God, when it come time to move him, he moved him quick. Wasn't no wait. He moved him out of there. All right, you coming from the prison to the palace. This is a done deal. And let me tell you, there was nothing like it. And let me tell you, can you imagine the people? Who's this guy? I mean, look at this. I've been with you all this time, Pharaoh. I've been here the whole time. I'm your viceroy. I'm the man. I got all the education. I read the stars. I read all the stuff. I can tell you everything. I read the lines in the palm of your hand. He had all those people. He had the magicians, those that work magic. They had smoke and everything. He had them all. But none of them stood like Joseph stood before Yehovah. None of them. And so when he walked in, there was something about his character, the way he conducted himself. He didn't go in there as a scared child. He wasn't in fear. He wasn't cowering in fear. And he stood before the great Pharaoh himself. He wasn't cowering in fear. He walked in there with his head up. It's my turn now. He took me out of the prison. I'm in the palace. Now, come on, Jehovah. Shine, shine, shine. It's time. And that's what Jehovah did. But he first told Pharaoh, he said, I just want to let you know, what I'm about to tell you is not from me, but it's from the Most High, the Mighty One, the Elohim of Elohims. He let him know that. Right up front, I ain't telling you anything until you understand that. You understand that? This is what I'm about to tell you is from the Most High. You got that? I got it. Okay, and then he revealed it. And he said, now I like what he said at the end. He said, well, we got to put somebody in place. We need a man. We need a man. A man? You need a man? I'm here. All those guys that he's paying all this money to, he's paying for their housing, paying for their food, and they live in lavish. They all stand up. I'm here. And so Pharaoh looks around at all of them. He goes, can there be anyone that suits the requirements better than you, Joseph? And that's when it clicked for Joseph. It didn't click yet. Even though he's out of the prison, it didn't click. He's just a messenger. But then it clicks. He said, can there be anyone greater than you? And so he has to make him an offer, right? And he had to make him an offer he couldn't refuse. He couldn't just say, I give you $10 and you won't have to sleep in a prison bed. You can sleep over there on the couch. Would it have been better than he had? It would have been better, and that's what people settle for. They settle for better than what they got, but it's not what Jehovah has got for you. Now, how many want what he's got for you? So if you've been waiting for 2 years, and you're going to settle for a couch and $10, give me a break. And you see why he kept you there for that long? Because it didn't change anything about you. We settle too much. And Joseph wasn't going to settle. He just stood there and said, let Jehovah do it. He's going to give me my promotion. And that's what he did. And when he gave it to him, he didn't kid. There was no joke about it. It is not in a city. It is not a sitting on your butt and waiting for better days. Did I say that? I'm reading this. But rather, it is an earnest waiting that seeks him with our all. I thought I took that out. Listening to his clear and powerful voice that teaches us how to hear and fear and live set apart lives unto him. Holding firm to the hope that we have in great loving commitment of Elohim. And so I'm not going to give you the Strong's word for but. I'm pretty sure everybody understands that one. You don't get the promotion is not just sitting around not doing anything. Joseph wasn't sitting around mad in the prison because he didn't get remembered. He was still doing the job that he was given faithfully. He got up every day and he went to work. He wasn't just sitting there, well, I ain't doing nothing until I get the miracle Jehovah's get for me. Okay. 3-4 years come by, you're still sitting on your, and you're wondering why Jehovah's not moving for you. You should still be having the attitude that whatever state you're in, you're content and you're working hard at whatever he's got for you. And that's what Joseph did. That's why God had used him in such a mighty way. When he got called up to the palace, he didn't all of a sudden get this amazing wisdom. That wisdom was being built in him all for 2 years. It was being built in him. He didn't all of a sudden get a great attitude when he got out of the prison. He was getting a good attitude in 2 years because he was faithful to Jehovah. Amen? I mean, understand that his work ethic didn't just happen when he got rushed out of the prison. All of a sudden, he became the best worker. He had a great work ethic when he was in a bad spot in his life. When he was in a weak state of his life, his work ethic was top notch. It's what you do when you're at your lowest that's going to count when God promotes you to your highest. What are you doing then? How's my attitude? How's my church attendance? How's my Bible reading? How's my getting hungry for the love with the Torah? Am I doing that when it's not going good for me? Things are rough. You know, pastor gets called, well, I'm just going through something right now. That's why I ain't been there. Okay, that's why you should be here. Not why you shouldn't be absent when you're going through something. That's when you should be at the forefront, sitting on the front row with your pen and paper saying, I want to learn something. I want to be looking at this because I'm missing something and Yehovah's trying to get it to me. Somehow the enemy comes and lies to folks and they think, well, separate myself and me trying to, I got to figure stuff out. Every guy that I've counseled that told me I got to figure it out, they still figuring it out. It's the truth. Every one of them. I said, well, I can tell you right now, I don't advise you to try to figure it out because we serve a mighty God who already has it all figured out and we have to do what he asks us to do and do what he tells us to do. And why would we reinvent the wheel when it's already been done for us? We have an amazing master, Yeshua HaMashiach, who paved the way in full and did it perfectly. We got a good example. You don't have to figure out something that he already figured out. He was tempted in all points just like we were, yet he didn't sin. That's the one I'm looking to because he figured it out. And we have Yosef, again, that type of Yeshua who did that for us all. The Hebrew word that is translated as drawn out comes from the primitive root verb mashak, Strong's H4900, which means to draw away, drag away, bore, defer, delay. The Hebrew word that is translated as sick is kala, Strong's H2470, which means to be or become sick, grow sick, afflicted, severely wounded, to grieve, make weak. What we recognize here is this proverb is that a deferred hope can cause one to be sick or make one weak and be severely afflicted in distress. In the days of Hezekiah, and that's Ezekiel, Jehovah rebukes Israel for having a proverb that says, the days go by and every vision shall come to naught. And then Jehovah said, now listen to their proverb. The days go by and every vision comes to naught. Nothing's happening. The days are going by and nothing's happening. That was Israel's proverb. Watch what Jehovah says. This is powerful. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 23. Therefore say to them, thus said Master Jehovah, I shall make this proverb to cease so that they no longer use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, the days have drawn near as well as the matter of every vision. For no longer is there to be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am Jehovah and I speak, and the words which I speak is done. It is no longer deferred. Are you seeing this? It's no longer deferred. For in your days, O rebellious house, when I speak the word, I shall do it, declares the Master Jehovah. Again, the word of Jehovah came to me saying, son of man, see, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he is seeing is for many days from now, and he is not prophesying of times far off. Therefore say to them, thus said the Master Jehovah, none of my words are deferred any longer. When I speak a word, it is done, declares the Master Jehovah. Now, if Jehovah speaks a word, that word to Yosef was given by way of a dream. Now, was it done to Jehovah when he gave him the dream? It was done. It wasn't going to change. Nothing was going to change it. It was done. Now, to us, in our time frame, we have to make sure that we're keeping a good attitude, a good walking in the fruits of the Spirit, making sure we're growing in Jehovah and being obedient to his word, that way in our time, it could be as done. Because how many want to be a participant in the word that he declares? If he declares a thing, we want to be a participant in it. So he declared a lot of things after he makes this statement to Ezekiel. Lots of things have been declared. No, some of those things that's been declared include you and I. Now, we can either be involved in that, which includes us, or not. Disobedience will exclude us from the promises. Disobedience will make us not be, we won't be around to be a part of what he said because we walk in disobedience. But if we walk in obedience, we're going to be a part of what is done in Jehovah. I said, what I say is going to be done. Not deferred, it's done. As a matter of fact, in God's, when He says it, it's done. He don't have to revisit it. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to say, oh Lord, bring it, please bring it, Lord. You don't have to pray about it. If He said it, so if you can find it in His Word that He said something that you can have, you can guarantee you don't have to pray for that anymore because it's going to happen. What you have to pray for is, Lord, keep me humble, keep me walking in obedience, true to Your Word, loving commitment, back to the loving commitment You show me. I want to reciprocate it back to You. And the way we reciprocate loving commitment is to be obedient to the things He asks us to do. So Ezekiel, I'd write it down, I'd go back over this, and I'd read this 3-4 times for the rest of these days. We got tomorrow, read it throughout the day, and let it minister to your life, because this right here is powerful. His word is not deferred. Meshach, Strong's H4900, His word is not delayed. Messiah made this very clear to us in Matthew 24:25. The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but My words shall by no means pass away. I mean, that's clear. That's clear as could be. So what did Jehovah talk about His word? He said, if I tell you My word is not deferred, it's going to happen, period. Yeshua comes along, you think He's going to say something different? He's not saying something different. He said, heaven and earth may pass away, but the words will not pass away. He said, My word shall by no means pass away. What I said is going to be. So you think maybe we ought to pay attention to the things that Yeshua said? We better pay close attention to them. The majority of His words were straight out of the Torah. Wow. Isn't that shocking? You ever heard such nonsense as we have today? People are so afraid of correction and rules that they'll say something that was never said in order to build a doctrine that they want to live by. They'll make statements. Why would we go back and live under the Old Testament and work for salvation when we have salvation freely given through Yeshua? So we have to ask this question. Did Yeshua talk about being obedient, being faithful? Faithful to what? And obedient to what? Think about it. Very important that we understand this. Under the threat of persecution and trouble, the hope and expectancy of many grow sick as that which they hope in is deferred. And our Master and Elohim makes it very clear to us that His word is not deferred, but will do what it says. And this we must believe as we put our hope in our Master and His word and not allow our hope to be deferred by imminent trials and end up being sickened to the core. There's no doubt there's been times that you're going through something and it makes you sick to the core. You get so frustrated. But it's those times that God is trying to pull us closer to Him for whatever He's trying to teach us. And we have to relinquish whatever we holding on to and give ourselves over to Him because He knows what's best for our life. Remember, if we're born again and we're living, it's not I that lives, Paul said, but He that lives in me. So can the two of them live their life the way they want and get along? Can you live the life in the flesh and give the flesh everything it wants and live a life in the spirit and give the spirit everything it wants simultaneously? There's going to be a fight. It's going to break out. And if your spirit is weak, your flesh will overcome and beat you every time. You know why? Because the spirit is not as demanding. But the flesh demands everything. Demands every ounce of your time, your energy, everything you got. It's never satisfied. That's why it's so demanding. And anything you can do about it to make it happy. You know, I see guys all the time, they said, man, I'm going to have a good time tonight. We're going to have a good time tonight. You know what they plan. They have a good time. Well, the next morning, The good time's gone. And they're telling me, I don't know what you're going through. I ain't doing this again. It'll never happen to me again. Well, you know what? They come back the next year and do the same thing. I'm like, you said you wasn't going to do it again. And I don't know how many times they did it from the year last time I seen it, but I'm sure it wasn't just once. Because it's demand, the flesh demands your time. And that's what Joseph was so good at. The flesh was demanding from him. He said, you got to hold on a second, just like Yeshua. It was demanding on him. He said, you got to hold on a second. I got to feed my spirit, man. And they constantly did that, and the spirit won because he was strong. I mean, you got to get your spirit man strong. Well, it's in the weakness, your weaknesses, that you're made strong. In your weakness, you're made strong. And it's because it's during that time that we should apply ourselves to Yehovah rather than apply ourselves to the flesh. It's those times that drive us. Let me tell you, if everything went perfectly in your life, you wouldn't have a whole lot there to push you to pray. You'd soon forget Yehovah. And so there's times that he's taking you on a journey and you're going, and you go up and you go back down. And when you go back down, it's not him against you, it's him for you. He's for you. He's telling you, you don't realize how bad you need this, but I want you to know, there's nothing you will ever go through that I'm not right here with you. And when you can lean back and fall and relax in him, there's nothing, no better feeling. When you're feeling attacked by the enemy and you relax in him, there's no better feeling than that. And that's what you have to learn to do that. So it's not, you don't just come and just, everything's fine, everything's great. It don't happen like that. You work hard for it. And let me tell you, the life of Yeshua, he went through all these things. All of these things. It wasn't just easy street because he could perform miracles. It wasn't easy street. He could perform miracles because he was faithful to the Father and the Father was faithful to him. So whatever he asked the Father to do, the Father did it. That's how faithful he was to the Father, because the Father said, I can't hold nothing from him. He didn't do anything to cause me to hold anything from him. I mean, no, sometimes our prayers are withheld from us because of the way we live, the way we act, the way our character and attitude is preventing those things. Not the enemy. We say, well, Lord, you got to stop the enemy from taking my stuff away. He ain't taking it away. We're getting it all messed up because we're not learning the process that he wants us to learn. And how many want to learn? We need to learn these things, and we do it because we're faithful to him. Amen? Our hope must be in Yehovah, for the expectancy we look forward to is joy, while the hope of the wicked come to naught. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. The righteous look forward to joy, but the expectancy of the wrong ones perish. The term look forward to is translated from the Hebrew word toheleth, Strong's H8431, which, as mentioned, means hope and expectancy. When we hold on to the true hope that we have in the sure word of Elohim, then the longing for his soon return is a tree of life. That is to say that we are able to find our sustenance and strength, nourishment and joy in our master and Elohim, and expectation of Israel. So in Proverbs 13:12, the Hebrew word that is translated as tree is eights. Strong's H6086, which means trees, wood, timber, and staff, which is primarily the basic term in Scripture for trees and wood products. This verse speaks clearly of that which brings us life. In the Garden of Eden, we know that there was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden, a tree of life. And we know that there was a tree. And we know that there was a tree of life which Adam and Hawa, or Eve, were permitted to eat from and were instructed to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the day that they would eat of it, he would die. The tree of life they were permitted to eat, and after they ate of the wrong tree, they were kept from eating this tree of life, which, as we see in Hazan or Revelation, that this tree of life is once again made available for all to eat. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those doing his commands. Blessed are those doing his commands. You're not getting out of it. I don't care what you say. You can say whatever you want. You can title your church however you want to title it. You're not getting out of doing his commands. They don't change. This is revelation of Yeshua. So these words are being spoken by Yeshua saying, blessed are those doing his commands, so that the authority shall be theirs unto the tree of life, and to enter through the gate into the city. So we have to get access to the tree of life. Now we have the means to get access to it through Yeshua. We have the means, and we're born again. We're on our way. But we hadn't eaten from the tree of life yet. Because how many know, just because you're born again don't mean you don't die? Folks still dying all the time, dying. But that's not our hope, and our expectancy is just to die. Our hope is for eternal life, and you don't get it until you take part of the tree of life. And it's available for those who are doing what? Keeping his commands. Now, I don't know how you get by with this if you don't keep Shabbat. I don't really know that. Just the basic commands, not to mention the rest. You know, we were fine. We're gonna add that fourth commandment back in. We ain't done that, so let's add that one in. I'm ready. You ready? Yeah, we ready. We ready. But then you extend outside the 10 words, and you go, and there's a lot of other things, and our readiness kind of gets a little shaky there. But nonetheless, you push through it, and you just keep reading it, keep reading it. You can read it over and over again. One thing about it, don't read it once, read it twice, read it 10 times, and if it's still saying the same thing, you might as well do it. Might as well. Read it from every version you can get your hands on. But it's still saying the same thing, you might as well submit to the Lord, because his word does not change. In the sure hope that we have in Messiah, we recognize that our access to the tree of life is a sure promise that is given to those who guard the commands and endure, not allowing the sure hope we have in him to be deferred by compromise and sin. So we have the sure hope that one day we're going to eat from the tree of life. Can you imagine reaching your hand up and grabbing hold to the tree of life and taking that in, which Adam and Eve had every opportunity to do? But they weren't eating from that tree. They were over here eating from the one they were forbidden not to eat. And that's exactly what the world does. That's what I was doing. That's what we all were doing. We all want what we can't have. We want it badly. And what's offered to us freely, the tree of life, it's right there in front of us. We turn to what we can't have. And he said, when you eat this tree, you're going to die. So you're not getting out of that. Now listen, people say, well, I don't have to worry about the tree of life. I'm saved. Go on, keep believing that. You get run over by a truck, you'll be dead as dead gets. We have to keep his commands and get to a place where we are able to eat from the tree of life. And he's promised us this. It's promised in Revelation we have access. Blessed are those doing his commands, so the authority shall be theirs unto the tree of life. How many want to take part in that? Amen? I do. In Romans 15, verse 12, I'm going to stop right here. I'm not sure what Brother Rob's trying to tell me back there. Huh? Okay, I'm stopping right here. Romans 15, verse 12. And again, Yeshayahu says, there shall be a root from Yeshay, and he who shall raise to reign over the Gentiles on the On him the Gentiles shall set their expectation. Who's going to raise to reign over the Gentiles? Who he's talking about here? This root of Jesse. No pun intended. The Elohim of expectation fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you overflow with expectation by the power of the set-apart Spirit. Let me say, I'm so thankful that our expectation is in Yeshua, because he will reign over the Gentiles. He came for the lost house of Israel, and let me tell you, he's not stopped. He's not changed the message. The message has not changed. He's reaching out to the lost house of Israel, and that's part of the house that we are. Amen? Thank God that we have been redeemed from being enslaved to sin and iniquity, and we've been set free. And it's my joy, it's my privilege and an honor to keep his commands. I don't think it's a burden at all. Listen, it's not hard if you want to. But where it gets difficult is when we fight it. And you can keep reading. I say, just keep reading. Don't ask me what I think about it. Don't matter what I think. Keep reading. Because when it becomes real to you, you'll see it for yourself. And you can turn the page. You can turn it fast. You can go. And it's still there. You can. It don't change. You know, you say, well, I don't know about this one. You can do whatever you want. It's going to be all over the scripture. What he tells us to do, we have to be obedient to. And let me tell you, when you're obedient to Yehovah, there's no more better joy that you've ever had in your life. And you say, well, I don't see a whole lot of joy in Joseph's life. Joseph had an amazing attitude. His attitude was so amazing. And I think about his life and I say, Lord, I want to have a good attitude like Joseph had. He didn't get all mad. He could have used every excuse in the book. He could have been fight mad. If that cupbearer comes down here, I'm going to give him a cup, all right? I got a good cup for him. I'm going to smash him in the face with this cup. He didn't do none of that. He waited. He waited, and he trusted Jehovah. And when it came time, the man that he wants to, you know, that the world said, you need to get him. You don't let people run over you like that. He never got involved in that. That same guy was the one that rushed to the king and said, I can't keep my sin hidden no more. I said I was going to do it, and I didn't do it, but I'm telling you today, there's a guy named Joseph that's been in prison, and it's been 2 years, and I'm telling you today, that guy can tell you about this dream you have. Just like that, from a prison to the palace. And what he didn't settle. Don't settle. Sometimes we settle for half a dream. We just be patient, wait on the Lord. He'll give you everything you wanted. Everything. Don't settle. Joseph was set second in command. The ring of Pharaoh came off of him and was put on Joseph's finger. And when Joseph would go through town, the criers would go before him saying, bow the knee. Bow the knee. And the reason the criers went before him, because the one didn't bow, they was kill him instantly. That's the status that he was given. And Pharaoh demanded that. He says, you are over my whole house. And who got that status? Yeshua. Yehovah says, you are over my whole house. And we're part of that house. And so if we're going to gain any success, which we'll go into tomorrow, you're going to see that we have to listen to what Joseph said, and we have to listen to what Yeshua said if we're going to be successful. We don't get anywhere if we don't listen to what they say, man, what he says. And so I appreciate you. Thank God for you. And it was just a thrill to go into this. Every Torah portion is incredible. It's exciting. And so I thank you. Appreciate you. Again, don't forget, this whole week, remember, the light that's coming to the world. Yeshua is that light of the world. So if you're going to honor anything, you honor the light that is coming to your life. And you always can tell when you're in the light, because then when you're in the light, there's no darkness. Amen? I mean, thank God for his goodness. Well, let's stand together. We're going to pray. Any special prayer requests?